Everything's perfect. I can tell you that. I can tell you how you could do perfect, but now doing it, we didn't do perfect. Okay? So we want you to know that first of all. We all make a lot of mistakes. Thank God for my wife. It was probably the biggest thing of it. She spent more time with them than I ever did. Okay? And so if any of them turned out, a lot of it was her fault. Okay? I can tell you. But anyway, but let's have a word of prayer and then we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to share your word and reminiscing on it, Lord, of where we might have made many mistakes and, God, where we could have done better, possibly we could help somebody. I pray, Lord, tonight you'll give us exactly the things you want us to say and not to say. Is there any questions here, Lord, in the end, Lord, that we might be able to try to answer to a deeper extent, Lord, that you'd open that up. Just give you the praise, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I think as you look in here, there's so much stuff. And the more I looked at it, But the first thing we got, we've been married, had a child 2 years old. Our pastor gave us this little book of Love and Command. And the first thing when I looked into it, I had the privilege of being raised in a family that my father and my mother, especially my father, was a disciplinary. He did discipline us, and he did it out of love. We had respect of him. And I'll say this probably as much as anything else. If your children do not have respect of you, they will not do what you tell them. Okay? And that's, you can say whatever. I think one of the first things, hopefully everybody here knows Christ, but the first thing, if you don't know Christ your Savior, you won't be able to teach them. Okay? Because you can't do it. We figured that out. The Holy Spirit has to teach through you. And you have to be a mature person to be able to teach your children, because if not, you'll get angry. And when you get angry, usually you mess up. Okay? Every one of us can probably say that more than once. I had the privilege, my father rode a lot of young horses whenever I was growing up, even young, and he gave me a lot of patience, because my dad always said, if you get angry and you correct the horse improperly, very likely it'd take twice as long to get him back where you were at, if you ever do. And I think that's so much the same way as children. Some of them you might hurt their spirit, never get them back. Okay? And I would say if you have that situation, probably one of the best ways that you go to them, apologize. Okay? Even regardless of whether you think it's good or bad. You know? But the first thing when a pastor gave me this book, it says the very first line, paragraph, says the primary message of this booklet is to relate to parents our struggle in learning to obey instructions in Scripture from a loving Heavenly Father. So the first thing this book said to me was, I need to learn how to listen to God. Okay? Because if we don't learn how to listen to God, the man just told me, if you don't have it, you can't give it to somebody else. Okay? Pretty simple. But I think the biggest thing that possibly I feel like that I failed in teaching our children is we took them to church. We drug them to church every service. A lot of times didn't have services. But the biggest thing is in our home, I don't think I taught the word enough. Okay? They didn't see me reading the Bible enough. We read it, but we didn't read it enough. I think if you read Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-9, it talks about the fact that you put it on your doorpost, you put it on the walls, when you go to bed, when you get up, you're talking about God's word. And I think you cannot do that enough.
It's Deuteronomy 6:4-9.
Okay. But anyway, Deuteronomy is really a good chapter. But like I said, there's so much stuff in here. I'm just going to kind of go over it. One of the first scriptures our kids ever learn is Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the only thing with a promise for a long life. Okay? And in verse 4, I might say this. The parents are not supposed to discourage their children where they don't grow. Okay? But there's two really good verses. And like I said, I could read myself. I found another book that we had had years and years ago that we didn't use enough. But if you have other questions, I think of all of us, there's areas you might have a child today that you've reached the point that you don't know, you feel like you've completely failed. Well, let me say this to you. You may have failed, but let me say this. If you go back and ask God to forgive you, God can make it happen. Okay? And I'll say this more than anything else. Don't give up. Start over. Just continue to start over. One thing that my father always taught us, there is no such word as quit. You don't quit. You start over, then you work at it. And one of the best ways to make less mistakes is, and I'll give you a lot of scripture here in a minute, but is to learn God's word. Thy word have I heard hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right, Psalms 119:11. But it says here in Psalms 32, verse 8 and 9, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and a bridle. And I can say, we pray for this quality of obedience for ourselves and also for our children. I think if we'll have our lives, if we can get our lives in line with God, you won't have much trouble with your children. Because first of all, your example is going to speak a lot louder than what the words do. Okay? And I think even go back to the very first in Genesis, and I can't tell you exactly the verses, but when me and Miss Payne got married, we become one. And the key to raising your children, possibly, is you being one. Every time that I make a decision, they turn around and go ask my wife if they can do the same thing. She goes back and she says, what did your father say? And vice versa. We were one, and that is probably the only reason any of our kids turned out. We tried to be consistent. Tell them one time, lovingly, okay, and if they don't obey, you discipline them. All right? People say, well, the rod won't work. And I'm going to read you some scripture, but it will work if we can do it right, if we do it so. And the first thing we get into, especially in this day and time, okay, you tell them to do something, you have to go somewhere, all right? Your priority has to be your child. When you tell them something, you have to discipline them then. You can't wait a week, okay? Because you do, they forget what happened, and you do too. You may be still angry about it, but it's just all it does is create bitterness, okay? So be very careful about that. And training is more than teaching. And like I said, I went back in this other book, even had some more of it. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it says there's definitely a distinction between teaching. My father, and like I said, I go back to this, my father didn't go to church basically ever until I was 21 years old. But he's probably the most moral person I ever knew, the most consistent person I ever knew. But he trained horses. And he could get a horse or dog to do anything because he done it the same every time. Every time. Okay? And that's like he'd tell us. He told us one time, but we had enough respect of him, we did do it. Now, we may have been standing up on the inside, but we definitely did it on the outside. Okay? And we would have done anything for him. Okay? So, but the teaching, you can tell somebody something, but if you don't follow up and make them do it, you're not training them. And that's a big one, okay? You tell them once, and then the training begins whenever you make them do it. All right? And I'll say this, our oldest son was very young, 2 or 3 years old, come home from church one night. He had a winter coat on. He came in the back door, and I told him, he went to cry, and he couldn't get his coat off. So I told him to come to me. He just rebelled. He wasn't going to do it. Well, I picked him up. I spanked him. I sit him back down. This took about 4 times before he just ran to me and wanted help. Okay? I could have quit on the first one and took his coat off, but we'd have lost the battle. All right? And so many times, it might take 10 times. You got a child that used to be 12, 14 years old, it's not going to be pleasant. But you got to stay with it. All right. And my last whipping, I was 18 years old. I backed in a roping box, and I missed two or three kids, and I was mad and whipped a horse for no reason. Okay? My dad told me, he said, let me show you what that's for when you discipline somebody for a reason. He gave me a whipping with a lariat rope, and it probably saved my life no telling how many times after that. Now, if my dad was alive today, I would take a whipping from him today. That's how much respect I had of him. Okay? Right or wrong, I would have took it. Okay? But he was right. And after that, every time I backed into a roping box, I thought about him. Okay? And at one time, I had a horse fall on me in a roping box because I didn't think. And he could have broke my back, but he didn't. Okay? But after, like I said, it made a lot of difference. But anyway, all parents train their children. Either you train them to obey or you train them to disobey. Every time that you are faced with a situation, you're training them, teaching them and training them, okay? So the child who is only taught the way he should go can also hear other teaching and depart from the way that he's been taught. I think the key, me and Ms. Payne, our pastor said here a while back, he said, but the promise to the parents who trains their child is when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so it's a pretty sensitive deal there. We've done our best, we thought, to train our children. Okay? Our oldest son, he probably had 10 to 15 times more spankings than all the rest of them put together. Okay? My mother-in-law one time said, you spank him too much. When he got older, she said, I don't think you've spanked him enough. Okay? So... And I'll be honest with you, he struggled today. He has lots of troubles in his life, okay? And we could blame ourselves, but we've done the best at the time that we had the knowledge of. I go back now, wish I could give him a lot more scripture. When he was 5 years old, I led him to Christ. He quoted every scripture he knew, okay? He knew what he was doing with what was right or wrong. He knew, he understood it probably as good as I did at five. I believe he was called to be a pastor. And I believe he rebelled. And I think he's still suffering from that. But he's still alive. And as our pastor said this morning, we should never give up on him. Because God, he's still alive for a reason. And he said that. He's told us that. No telling how many times. He said, I don't have no reason why I'm still alive. But I know God's got a reason. He knows.
But he knows we pray for him. But what you were saying, Bruce, because I always beat myself up because I said, it was me that made the mistake, you know. But when Bruce was teaching, it was at the beginning of the school year, and it was like, and I didn't understand that part where it says they'll never depart from it. He can't escape it. It's in his heart.
Still there, the word's there.
So, and we know that. We know that word's still in there because he'll call and say things, you know, and it made me feel better that, okay, yes, I did teach and I did train, but he chose to reject. But it's never going to, it'll never leave his heart. It's still there because he's still convicted at different times when he knows that he's done wrong. And so that's the hope. And that was like our pastor when we were struggling, you know. And that's the first thing he told me. He said, Susan, you did the best you could. He said, you just never, 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 never give up on him. And so we've not. And I said so many times, I think when you have a wayward child, you want to say, okay, well, I'm done with you. I don't even want to, you know, I don't want to talk to you. And the Lord spoke to my heart and I said, but how is that right? He's my child. I love him. I love him, you know. And I think, I told Harold, I said, we have to keep communication open. We have to. And so we've talked to him. He's called us drunk, high, whatever, you know, the middle of the night, 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And he thanks his dad. He said, thank you for answering the phone. And so, you know, we just keep praying that, you know, that you just can't give up. And we know that's in, you know, the God's word's in his heart, so.
That's good. And here's what we usually struggle with as humans. says, how? The struggle with myself to do God's way, but how can we train? It says, how can we train our children to obey us? Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay? And I'll say this, there was times that there was some bruises on their legs, but then I'm going to say this. I'll give you a scripture later, but the blueness of a wound, you say, is healing. Okay? Not only healing physically, it's healing them spiritually. And we got to remember that. It's tough. I know here, years ago, they would lock me up. The first time we took our oldest son out of the nursery, 3 years old, we brought him in there and he threw a fit. I told him, I said, you got to be quiet. But he didn't. So I picked him up. We started out the back door. As we were going out the back door, he says, somebody help me. Okay. But on the sidewalk in front of our church in the middle of town, I spanked him. Okay, took him back in. I never had to take him out again. Never. Okay? But that's what I'm saying. We say, well, I don't want to do that because people are talking about it. Well, they're going to talk about you now. They're going to talk about you later when your kid's making you ashamed. Okay? Because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Right? It's a matter of time. It says, and here are different excuses. Oh, but Lord, you surely don't mean I am to use a rod and a stick on my child. Okay, and it goes on to say, he that spareth a rod hateth his son. Now, it's pretty plain. And it's not easy. It says, but he that loveth him chasteth him betimes, early, when they're little. And I was reading in this other book, it talked about the fact that there's four different stages by life. You have an infant, basically they are completely dependent upon us. Okay? And then you have a child. When a child, just about like Justin's age, when he's getting so he's getting around, all right, that is the most important time in his life to train him. From the time he's 3 years old or 2 years old, or even maybe a year old, till he's 13. That is the most important. That's when your life, that's when you're going to shape or have a deal in your life. My nose keeps running. But anyway. And then I think, and it said from 13 to 20 as a youth. And everybody said, well, your teenager is usually your biggest problem in your life. It don't have to be. It shouldn't be. Because by that time, they should be trained well enough that they're a blessing in your home, not a hindrance. Okay? Now, that's easy said. And every one of our kids, and I might say this, but Emily didn't give us much trouble. Okay? She had enough character to see what the rest of us did wrong and didn't, okay? And besides that, she was with me so much more time, she didn't have as much time to get in trouble, which was good. You know, it's good for me, anyway. But we had struggled with every one of our children, okay? All three of them, but we didn't quit. I drug my other son out of a pickup one night and would have thrashed him if it would have come to that, but he listened, okay? I took him home. And he asked his mom later, he said, how come Dad's so angry about this? And I said, anyway, she told him, because he cares. And it probably saved his life. And he can tell you today, he's told me several times, that was probably turning his life. Okay. So it's good. It has rewards when things turn out. We go to another question here. Then it says, I argue, but there are other ways to discipline. Words can be rods, scolding and rebuke. And let me say this verse here. Without withhold not correction for thy child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. He goes on to say, but I want to let him know to grow up free without inhabitants, okay? The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I keep going back to this so much. My wife spent so many hours with our kids because I work jobs all the time. I work two jobs most of the time. But I go back to it. It always says it gives a mother shame. Because you're the one that has them. And you're the one that has spent the time with them. It goes on to say, it said here, I am tempted to say, surely these little disobedience are not serious enough yet. Well, they get bigger. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. We had one son, our oldest son was very outward. He would say no. Our next son, whenever he done something wrong and he didn't want to get corrected, he went to crying. So every child got a different, they have a different personality, but they have one thing in common. They're all little sinners.
I think you have to determine that. You know, if you have that strong-willed child, they're outward with all their stuff. And then our second, like he said, he was inward. You know, he was sneaky about what he did, you know, and we didn't always catch everything he did, you know, but that inward rebellion is almost harder than the outward, because when you know, they say no, you know, that's okay, immediate. But then when they have that inward rebellion, it's harder to really determine and read than the outward, you know. So yeah, it's
praise God he wouldn't have rebellious as the other. We don't think so.
No, I don't think he was. No,
who knows,
it just, you know.
All right, it goes on to say, but I'm afraid if I discipline, he will only rebel more. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 29:17. And then it said, I had to ask myself, do I believe the Lord means what he says in these verses? I go back to Samuel. We've been studying in Samuel, a Bible class. He told Eli, basically, but Samuel, Hannah couldn't have a child, and then she said, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to God. And she literally gave him to God, and he was in the temple from then on, okay? And Eli had two boys, and he wouldn't make them mine. God killed them both, and also killed Eli, okay? So, yeah, God means what he says. Now, you may not see right now in your life, but sooner or later, you're going to see what God means. Okay, he's very plain. He's just, okay? He's not like us. He doesn't forget and make mistakes. He does what he says, all right? It says, my obedience to God is to train my child requires that every time I ask him to do something, either come here, don't touch, hush, put that down, or whatever it is, I must see that he obeys. When I have said it once in a normal tone, you might remember that. Say it in a normal tone. And I know the ladies struggle with this because ladies are more emotional. Okay? And I've learned a lot by being around Mrs. Thane. She used to have bright red hair. Okay? But it's good because through my life, God has prepared me to some extent most of the time. There have been times I've been angry. Emily could tell you that. But by God's grace, he put us together for a reason. And whoever you're with, he puts you there with them too, okay? And you're there to support. And I go back to the same fact. If you're one, your children see that. They know you love one another, and you're going to be there regardless. And that's one thing, both myself and Ms. Payne, we come from a home, neither one of our parents were divorced, okay? They were always there. I never did come home, and my parents wasn't there. Now, I'll be honest with you, and this is crazy, I never heard my mother and father ever argue. Now, I know they did, but we never heard them. Never heard them. Okay.
And I think on that, another, when he was talking about that, I think you have to, you know, you have to set those boundaries. Whatever's, you know, set your boundaries, determine what's wrong, you know, determine the rules, and then when they disobey the boundaries you've set, then you have to determine, what am I going to do? What, you know, and we spanked. So, and the consistency is the hardest. I think that's the hardest thing to do, is the consistency. Because some days, because that's what we felt like, I should be a stay-at-home mom. And I was. And some days I felt like that's all I did was, you know, talk to him, spank him. And this little book, you know, talks about, yes, we talk, we spank, we talk, we pray, we hug. Because they have to know that you love them. And that's what I told Harold. Sometimes I think, and just like all of this, everything fits together. Just like Heather and Ken, what they talked about last week, husband and wife, That relationship is so, 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 so important to your kids, because if they can see that you're divided, or they can see that, hey, mom's not going to be as hard, or dad's not going to be as hard, or whatever, but I think that consistency to know, hey, they're going to love me, they're going to be there, you know, and when kids know that you're going to back daddy, that was the our son whenever that happened. I didn't agree with what Harold was saying. And I thought it was wrong. I honestly thought, this is not right. But the Lord told me, do not say a word. And this was a serious situation. And because you're ladies, but my son had supposedly gotten a girl pregnant. And Harold, and the mom and dad, they wanted them to get married. Harold said, no, they're finishing school. They're finishing their year. And those parents were mad. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's got this girl pregnant. You know, he needs to take care. He needs to do this. And so, anyway, the Lord just told me, no, you have to listen to what Harold's saying. You have to do what he's saying. So I listened. And that was the one day Cody goes, why won't he let us get married? I said, Cody, I don't know. I said, all I know is the Lord's told your dad what we're going to do in this situation, and that's what we're going to do. So they did finish school, and I don't know if it was really true or not, but she supposedly lost the baby, but they didn't get married. But this girl stalked Cody. We went to Arkansas, and how they found where we lived, I'll never know, because we didn't, the GPSs weren't, anyway, but she found it, and she met Harold and this guy that brought her, and they just couldn't understand it, but he never did see that girl again, ever. But like I said, I honestly did not agree with what Harold was saying. But I knew the Lord told me I had to obey my husband, and I had to do, because he was the spiritual leader in our home, and I had to do what he was saying. And I think that's so, I know that's so important, and I think if you disagree on discipline, you know, don't talk about it in front of your children. Discuss it later. Say, and you can appeal to your husband and say, hey, you know, could we, you know, and just talk about what you need to do if you disagree. But in this case, I knew what Harold was saying, and I, you know, I just, the Lord just told me to keep my mouth shut, you know. But so that's hard to do sometimes. But I think when the kids see that, that gives them security. That gives them freedom to have self-confidence. You know, I really do. I believe that they, when they know that, like you said, they know mom's going to be home. They know dad's going to be home. They know mom's not going to leave. They know dad's not going to leave. No matter how rough things get, they're going to be there for me. And I think kids need that. They need that boundary, you know, that illustration of a playground, that if you put kids out on a playground and there's no fences or boundaries, they stay right up close. But if there's boundaries, they'll go all the way to the boundary. And they have that freedom because they know where to stop. And I think that's what kids want. They want to be stopped. They want those boundaries. Even though that doesn't make sense in our brain. But, you know, and a lady told me, and I had never heard of this, but those little glue sticks, they say they, you know, they'll sting. And they'll might leave a little mark, but they're quiet. You know, she said she'd reach in her purse during church, start to reach in her purse, and they'd go, you know, they knew what was coming. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, you just have to. But I think the biggest thing is being able to pray with them, being able to get them to make things right. And sometimes I didn't always do that. And I think you have to win that heart over them, you know. And like Harold said, we didn't always, when we did discipline, we probably should have applied more scripture. You know, we should have we should have used scripture more than we did, because I think that's what reaches, because we know.
I think just like Pastor said this morning, it's a moment of restoration.
It is.
You get to come alongside your kid and you get to teach him what it is.
Exactly.
To be restored, just like God restores that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a, everything points them back to God. Whether, you know what I mean?
And having value, that was when Pastor, the first session he had, you know, there's so many kids that don't feel like, they feel like they're just a, you know, because mom and dad are always yelling at them, or brothers and sisters are always yelling at them, so they think, well, what am I, what good am I, you know? But I think we have to teach our children, yes, you're valuable, I love you, you have good qualities, you know, and I know that's a lot where I struggle, because when they're being good, you don't say you don't say much, but that's when we probably should be saying more than when we're mad at them, you know. And so we just, you know, but we need to teach them, yes, you're valuable. Yes, we love you. Yes, you do good things. You're helpful. You're kind. You're tenderhearted, you know. And just giving those good qualities, too, along with the discipline, you know. So
I might even say this, too, along with our son. The girl, I wasn't sure that girl was, that was his baby to start with. It was a different situation. Like I said, I wouldn't have no idea how to handle it again. You know, I just had to face it. But come to find out, this girl come to Arkansas and brought this guy with him, with her. And he was just a kid too. But anyway, they told me they was going to talk to her. And I thought, no, you're not going to. But anyway, it was quite ill. But then later on, her mother brought her. And wanted to come talk to him. I said no, because first of all, these people, I believe they were lost, okay? And just by God's grace, no reason that worked, I can tell you, because it was just, because we don't know sometimes, you just don't know, but I really had a, I had a feeling that wasn't right, and God's grace, he took care of it, okay? I had another thing you're talking about, and I just think of something else too, and there's different situations happening, I thought of different ones, but when you have kids, and then your husband, say you got a divorce, and this is stuff that I've really been on my heart different times. You have somebody that has children, and then they get divorced, and so they remarry. Something they don't realize sometimes so much. Whoever that husband is that comes into their life, he needs to be a Christian, because he is responsible for that home. Okay? And it's such a tough deal. To let say so-and-so, well, he's not really the dad, but he is, okay? So be careful, and I know this is like me. My father told me, and I've been married and divorced, not proud of that by no means, but my dad told me for a year before I got married the first time, he said it will not work. Well, I didn't listen, okay? So after we've married for over 4 years, he come to the fact, which I... She'd go with me to rodeos. Like I said, the year before we got married, I went to 21 rodeos and won 18 of them, okay? And so here, that's what I loved. Well, I could take her. I took her home every night after we got back in these rodeos because we weren't married. My dad said, it'll work until you get married. But I said, I'll make it work. I sold my horses and everything else so it would work. Well, it didn't work anyway, because you got to put God first, okay? Anyway, so it taught me, you know, there's different things. Especially, that's why I think about that so much. Especially when somebody, when you get remarried or whatever, if it ever happens, be careful, because it could be worse than it was the first time. And it's just another thing to face. And I think about using the rod. It says, using the rod of my child is unpleasant. But immediately after the correction, I can take my child in my lap and comfort and kiss him and tell him I love him. But he must obey. The Lord does this, all right? It says, talking about the blueness of the wound, and like I said, a whole bunch more, we run out of time, but if you do have any questions, but I'll think of this, and our oldest son, he came back and lived with us at one time after his first divorce. He came back and lived with us because he had nowhere else to go. Matter of fact, we played a plane ticket for him to come from California to Arkansas, and when he got there, he had a duffel bag. He lost everything he had. Okay, and but Miss Payne, like she said, if we don't love him, who's going to? You know, And so we took him in. He didn't want to be there. He didn't stay very long. And he found him a place to live. And that's something we've been so blessed with. Our kids have been confident. When they leave home, they're their own people. Okay? And praise God, because we really don't want to. We love them, but we sure glad they're gone, you know, at time. But, and that's like Miss Payne has said so many times, work everything you can, train your child when they're there, because there's going to be a time. We've had the privilege now of being almost 12 years without anybody in our home but ourselves. So it can get, I mean, there's different areas in your life. Enjoy them as you got them. The kids, they won't be there always. If they are, you need to do something different, okay? That's just all I'm saying, you know, it's just, but that's part of life.
Well, I think, though, the world puts such a stigma on stay-at-home moms, you know? It's like, well, you know, this is the way I felt. But, you know, I feel like, why would, I'm not contributing financially to our home. And, you know, but I'm stuck at home with four kids. What, you know, I'm just stuck at home with four kids. But honestly, we knew that that's what God's word said. And I know it's not always, you know, and I started working when the kids got in school. It was a Christian school, you know, I helped and stuff. But I had the same hours as they had. They were never, you know, they were never by themselves or had to, you know, have a babysitter or anything like that. And God just blessed us. But I think that's because we had a pastor that taught on the home and the wife, or and the husband and wife relationship. And that's what we felt like we should do because they're my children. And I said, had I known how fast it goes, I would have never regretted being home. Because once that last one leaves, there's a lot of living left after your children leave. I mean, really, there is. I would never have believed that. Because you think, I'm stuck here with these kids forever. You know, but it's gone in a flash, you know. And I know it can be very frustrating. And I know Satan wants to discourage the stay-at-home mom, but if you're doing that, and I can remember reading a devotion about an older lady, and she goes, I just didn't do very much, you know, and things, and the pastor goes, now where is your son Mark? Well, he was a missionary somewhere. Where's your son, you know, I don't know what their names were, but they were all serving the Lord in some capacity, but that's because she had put so much into them that they were, you know, God used them. So don't let Satan discourage you if you're a stay-at-home mom, because that's the biggest calling you can have right now, because there's time for jobs and trips and fancy things after your kids are gone. You know, because we were talking the other day about, you know, just stuff that we couldn't afford when our kids were, you know, when we had the kids, but it does pay off. There is a reward, and three of our children are serving the Lord, so that's, you know, and I still haven't quit thinking about Dustin and knowing that, you know, I hear these messages, you know, pastor preaches and you want to send them to him so he'll listen, but I don't know if he's to that point yet or not, but God's word will never go void. So
I might say one more thing. I was thinking about the fact that I know I feel responsible to some extent for my son having struggles now. But you ladies, I might say this to you right now. Remember the times that you see your husband maybe making a mistake. Learn how to make a proper appeal to him, because my wife, she told me 2 years before we moved to Arkansas, she said, and we were, our church was dying, was struggling. Matter of fact, we'd worked with a teenager for 17, 18 years, and it was a situation happened that was really not our fault, but it cost us our job there, basically, and what we was doing. So, but the church was dying. They closed the Christian school. Church was dying, literally dying. So God was telling me, you need to move. You need to find someplace else to go to church. But we went to Springfield, different places. We went to a lot of different churches and looked, didn't find anything. Ms. Payne had told me two or three different times, she said, and we went to this camp for 17 years in Arkansas, and we grew unreal there because they taught the truth. All they sang scripture songs, they memorized scripture, that's all you heard, okay? And for a week, every year, for 17 years, you had no phone, you had no radio, you listened to God's word. Okay, and we really agree. Well, she kept saying this, the guy that ran this, his son was close to us. Anyway, she said, you need to call Brother Mark and talk to him. Well, for 2 years, I put it off. And then one morning, she had mentioned to me the day or so before, he called me. He said, well, why don't you come to Arkansas and visit our church? We went to Arkansas, okay, and visited this church. And 2 weeks later, we moved to Arkansas. We sold everything we had. Matter of fact, had 50-something head of cows paid for, and that was going to be a retirement. Well, we sold them. We sold our house. We built a new house. We sold everything. We put it all in a 26-foot truck. But we was 2 years late. I think even today, if we'd have moved when God first told me to, we would have probably saved our oldest son. Lots of struggles. Lots of struggles. And like I said, that's in the past. We can't change that. So if there's any way that it could be an encouragement to you all, don't make the same mistake I did. But make appeal to your husband. If you see something that God would put on your heart, be sure and tell him. And don't nag, but tell him. Because he puts you with them for a reason. Okay? So I don't know if you had anything else or not, but
I don't think so.
Anyway,
I was just going to say, I think that one thing that you don't give yourself or God enough credit for is that, just like you talked about, you know, your dad, he had your heart. And I think Pastor said this before, but you want to get their heart when they're little. Mm-hmm. So that you can turn their heart to God when they get to that point of transition, when it's time for them to leave that home. It's right. Not like it was it's just mom and dad's religion or their God, mm-hmm. But you want to be, and I think that you did do that. We respected you and we loved you and you had our hearts. And yeah. I think you did do that well.
As far as I know, and I don't remember ever having one of our children talk back to us. Ever. Okay? Because they knew there'd be a consequence. You know, but I don't think, we had our oldest son went and worked for a guy, he was about 13 or something. And this guy, I knew he worked on bridges. And he said, I need somebody to just hand me tools for a day. Could your son help me? And I let him go help him. He brought our son back at the end of the day, and he said, I had trouble with your son today. I said, what was that? He said, every time I told him to do something, he told me, yes, sir. And he said, I'm not a sir. My dad was a sir. And he said, but every time. He said, I really had trouble with him. I said, well, I'll tell you, I'd have a lot more trouble with him if he hadn't have said that, if he hadn't. And he did use him after that different time. But that's the way he was trained. And we, you know, to say this to y'all, me and Ms. Payne said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, sir, each one. We did that constantly. That's the example we did in our whole life. It wasn't yes or no. It was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But that's the way we always did it. And we today, our oldest son, he may be in a mess sometimes, but he'll still answer you properly.
Yeah, he says yes, sir, even if he's drunk.
Maybe a little screwy, but he does. But you know, by God's grace, we can laugh about it. My oldest son, at different times, he said, you act like you enjoy it. Discipline me. I said, yes, sir, I do. Because I know I'm doing what's right, and it's for your good. But I did. In times, I spanked him, and I could smile while I was doing it.
Well, so, you know, you read that book, and the first time I read it, I thought, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to discipline my children. I'm supposed to do this. The second time I read it, I thought, oh, great, I'm being very disobedient, you know, because I'm not doing what God's told me to do. So, yeah, I guess it's just God shows you that what you need to know at the time you need to know it. So it's,
and that's probably one of the biggest things too. It's disobedient when you don't discipline your child. Mm-hmm. You're disobedient, and if you're disobedient, that's an example to them. They can be that way too.
And I think it's one more thing that I think is so important, and I know this day and time is so, so hard to do, But if you can have one meal together, one time that you guys are around a table and talk. I said Sunday nights was our funnest time to be around the table. We'd come home, we'd laugh, we'd, you know, it was just a time that we bonded as a family, you know. And so, and we tried to eat our evening meals together. And in that way, you know, Mr. Manor Police over here, can't, you can't talk with your mouth. I mean, and it was good. It was good. But you know what I'm saying? You can teach them manners at the table. There, that's a teaching time, and it's a fun time. But to find out how's your day, what's going on, you know. But just that bonding. Find a time that may not be a meal time. Maybe it's after, you know. But just find a time that you can sit down and be together and talk and read God's word and. It's just so important to have that bonding.
And having devotion is the toughest thing there is in the world. But that's one of the most important things. But, you know, and I was always gone in the morning. I usually got home later in the evening, sometimes really late. But my wife, like I said, I'll have to say this to the ladies more than anything else. You have no idea how important you are. You have no idea. Like I said. And she always had my back. I come home different times. She said, yeah, you need to discipline your children. You know, and sometimes I could leave home. I praise God I've got a job to go to. You know, really. I mean, that sounds silly, but it was. At times, I could praise God. I had a job. I didn't. That was not my calling to be a mom. And praise God. You know, but you're at a special, special place. Do y'all have any questions that you may not have the answer, but... And if you have any other things, and if you want to read one of these, this book is, like I said, I read it years ago, but didn't get much out of it, I guess. But I read it the other day. I read about a third of it, and there's so much stuff in there that'll help you. It's crazy.
What is it?
It's What the Bible Says About Child Training. This book, I don't know how old it is.
It's an old book. What's his first name? It's Fugate.
There's four different. Guys went together and wrote this years ago. I can't even tell when it was wrote, but anyway, but it's really good. But anyway, there was four different deals. Tim LaHaye, y'all heard of Tim LaHaye? And,
well, he just gave his commentary on it.
Right, but anyway, there was four different ones. But tell you how much it cost, $5.95. That's been a long time ago, but anyway. I don't know if we have anything else.
We can close in prayer.
Yeah, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's come to you tonight again. I want to thank you, Lord, for these ladies' attention. I pray, God, that something was said tonight would be an encouragement to...